clever. This is another one of the statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam. A mu'min is clever, smart, intelligent, right? But not necessarily cunning. Cunning and shrewdness, they have negative connotations to them. And that's because they are outside of the bounds of the rules and regulations that Allah the Almighty has put upon people. And so being cunning, like Muawiyah, is to break the rules of Allah. But to be clever, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, is to work within the confines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for example, to remain truthful, or to remain honest, or to not break the commandments of Allah. A very beautiful and profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: أقيلوا ذوي المروءات عثراتهم، فما يعثر منهم عاثر إلا ويد الله بيده يرفعه.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Forgive the shortcomings of considerate people, because when they fall into error, Allah raises them up."
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
And so when we talk about this issue of Hadith Saqalain, where the Prophet says, "I am leaving two things behind, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt," you cannot separate one from the other. Ali was with the Quran and Quran is with Ali. Just one more example about it. When Surah Bara'at was revealed, the ninth surah of the Quran, one of the last ones to be revealed, the earlier ayat which came, not the whole surah was revealed together in peace form, but the earlier ayat which came, which was the ultimate and given to the mushrikeen of Makkah after the conquest of Makkah, where they were given 4 months grace time to think about Islam. Islam will not be forced on them. And if they agree, that's fine. Otherwise, after 4 months, they have to vacate Mecca, because Mecca is now a sanctuary for Muslims. So all this Taliban and ISIS, who think you spread Islam by sword only, this is against the Sunnah of Rasulullah. He's giving 4 months grace period for them to think about it, study about it, question about it. And so when those ayat came as a declaration against the mushrikeen in Mecca, Rasulullah decided, according to the norm those days, to choose an elderly companion of Rasulullah and asked him to take that to Mecca, and this was Abu Bakr. Take this and declare this to the mushrikeen of Mecca. While he left Medina, traveling towards Mecca, Jibreel comes down. And this is in our books as well as Sunni books. Jibreel comes down and he says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the message that the bara'at that you have to declare to the mushrikeen, either you do it yourself or rajulun minka. Either go and announce that only yourself or somebody who is from you. Min niyyat." Remember, even in this khutbah we recited yesterday, where the Prophet says, "Anta ka nafsi," you are like my soul. You are from me, I am from you. This is one occasion. He calls then Ali. And interesting, Jibreel didn't say who. The message was only, you go yourself or send somebody minka, who is from you. And Ali called Rasulullah called Ali. He says, go with a fast horse until you reach Abu Bakr. Take the ayat from him and go and declare that in Mecca. Of course, Abu Bakr would be kind of disappointed. He came back. He says, Rasulullah, what happened? Did Allah say something wrong about me? And Rasulullah said, no, nothing. Nothing personal. The command was, either I go myself, أو رجل منك, or somebody from you. And when I looked around, there is nobody closer to me other than Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Welcome. The Iranian response to the Zionist entity through attacks with drones and missiles has established new equations that experts and analysts in the Hebrew media have turned their attention to, notably the deterrence equation imposed by Iran. This equation has led to a change in Zionist security doctrine after its failure. I'd like to go ahead and welcome my guest today, Dr. Ali Hamiyeh, military and strategic researcher. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you for having me with you.
Thank you. Dr. Hamiyeh, what does it mean militarily, of course, for Iranian missiles launched from 1,600 kilometers to strategically hit the Nefatim base?
Well, first of all, let's see what's the goal of this, let's call it the hit back. I don't want to call it revenge, because the Iranian, even though they declared their attack 72 hours in advance, and plus the drones and UAV needs subsonic speed, it needs like more than 4 to 5 hours to reach its target. It means that the humanitarian attack from Iran point of view, that they don't want to have any civilian losses or casualties. They declare and they have full confidence that they can reach their targets, even though the enemy is prepared to attack back, or prevent this attack from landing into their targets. They could not. It means the superiority of from like point of view as technology, as cyber security, the Iranian proved that they are very efficient, very sophisticated kind of technology, that they can reach any target in Israel, even though tried to be counter-attack.
Exactly. Well, Doctor, many are saying that Israel wasn't successful in downing these drones.
Let me tell you this. The Israelis try to intercept
Some saying that it was successful. Excuse me.
From my point of view, and from what I saw on TV, that I saw that maybe the Zionist entity plus all the American power with all the fleets in
the Jordanian,
Mediterranean,
UK,
and the Red Sea, plus the British Queen Elizabeth, in addition to the French and Germans, and plus using the airspace of Jordan as the first step or first front of defense. We can see that all what Israel and all those powers they could not intercept. Only they intercepted the drones and UAVs. They could not intercept any of the hypersonic missiles. And
yes,
we are talking about Fatah 2. Hypersonic is like with the high speed of 30 Mach or 16,000
yes,
kilometers. Or even though the most stunning point in this attack is using hypersonic cruise missiles. This technology does not exist for cruise missiles.
Well, Doctor, we are going to be talking a lot about this. Let's go ahead and see what else we have today. Let's move on now to the Iranian attack on the Israeli entity, which came in response to the consulate assault in Damascus that has changed many equations, notably the deterrence equation, as the entity lost the freedom to attack Iran without a real response. Well, Doctor, as we saw here, the equation has changed. It has shifted from the military deterrence to strategic patience. How important is this equation in context with the relation or the conflict between Iran and the Zionist entity?
This retaliation of Iranian army against the Zionist entity not only broke the strategic equation, but also they broke all the equations in all military meanings. Now we are talking about a new technology. We are talking about new satellites. We are talking about private GPS. For military Iranian missiles, we can see that the Iranians are very advanced. We can see also that the technology and also security and military superiority of United States and the Zionist entity are broken now. They have no more superiority in the region, and also Iran only retaliate against the bases that were responsible for the aggressions against the Iranian consulate in Damascus. Only We are talking about
how it's changed the equation. What about Jordan? I mean, how has this changed Jordan's relation and the Arab-Iranian since that this is the first time they've actually defended Israel?
We have two allies in the region. We have the resistance ally, and we have the ally of normalization in the region. And we can see that Jordan is a deep strategic geography for the Israel, and we cannot understand, neither me or even the Jordanian, that when Jordan declared that they defend their sovereignty and the airspace from foreign or strange objects, at the same time they permit the Israelis and the American airplane to be in the space and to attack the incoming missiles. So the incoming missiles are for the benefits of Palestinian. The counterattack is for the benefits of Israel. So now Jordan has declared itself that to take a side with the normalization or the people or the countries that are going into a full normalization with the entity. Let me tell you one other thing. It's very important. This was the first attack by now. The Iranian has strategically it's a disciplined move just to put the Israelis at their edge. You cannot go beyond this limit.
This
in case,
yes.
In case you want to go further, we have another and will be like starting.
Well, I do want to get all this information from you and more, so let's go ahead and see what else we got. The Iranian attack on the Israeli Zionists has cast doubts on the Zionist military's ability to engage in a war, especially with the collapse of the security doctrine that needs to be reconsidered. This is the opinion of an ex-senior Zionist Air Force general. Well, Doctor, some very strong words here. What equations did this Iranian attack on the occupation entity actually establish, including the deterrent equation against the occupation itself?
I don't think there is a deterrent equation anymore because Israel is exposed. Now we can see all kind of missiles hit their targets precisely, and all the bases that supposedly to be highly protected, and I'm talking about Nevatim, and we can see all the power of F-35 Adir was inside this base. They first destroy all the surveillance towers, and then no contact between the control base and airspace. I'm talking about the fighter jets.
Well, so, Doctor, I do want to get your opinion on
into doctrines and the security doctrines. Well, I see that
right now everything is going around something, and the time is winding down when it comes that Israel is now saying that there's a big possibility of retaliation. What is your opinion on this?
I think that there will be a retaliation, and it will be a big mistake of the Israelis. And as we heard that even President Biden said to the Israelis that if you want to attack, we should know in advance. So it means they given a green light to the Israelis to attack, but please inform us in advance. That will be the biggest mistake that the Israelis will commit in this at this point, because the Iranian retaliation, it will be a very demolishing, crashing attack against the Israelis, and it will take us to a new stage which will not be tolerated by the Zionist entity.
So not humanitarian, as you mentioned before. Doctor, the truth understood by Zionists is that Iran is capable of aerial attacks, which led Israel Ziv, former head of the information department in the occupation army, to affirm the alliance with the United States of America. The Iranian attack has proven that the Zionist entity needs the support of the United States because it is unable to confront Iran alone. What is your opinion on this?
I think even though for the United States it could not attack as it wish the Yemenis, and it could not intercept all the Yemenis' attack against the destroyers and corvettes and whatsoever in the sea, it means there is something, new technology, which United States could not catch up to now. Now we are talking about if the United States can go and defend Israel. I think yesterday, what happened a few days ago from Iranian attack, it shows that the United States also living in a lack of power to intercept all the Iranian missiles or drones. With the full package of the NATO and AUKUS and Israelis together, they could not counterfront the Iranian attack, which means now we are moving into a new not only doctrine, we are moving into a new stage and phases of a new war. This could not up to now be understandable by the United States and all its allies. What's going on? We used to say that Iranian declaring fake information about its power and the missiles, technology, and so on. It appears that it's true. Iran is very powerful. Now we are living in a very short time. The time is with us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Doctor,
and the land we are standing on very. In our land,
yes.
The American is far away. The Israelis are a little bit now hesitating.
Well, actually, I do want to go ahead and move over a bit to the political arena and see what's going on there. Zionist social media has reacted to the discussion about the response to the Iranian attack with various opinions from Zionist activists.
Portal. It's clear that if we don't respond strongly, we won't be able to live here for even 20 years. Date. The problem is that Biden's America does not agree to attack Iran in response and said it will not help us in this. Ashri. Israel will not respond. We have weak leadership. Kobi Halevi. If Netanyahu does not respond, he loses the ability to mention Iran in the elections. Anna. Netanyahu falls and Israel falls. It cannot be defended. We are dying.
Dr. Hamiye, let's go ahead and see this. To what extent do the opinions of Gantz, Azenkot, and Smotrich appear realistic regarding the Zionist response, contrary, of course, to the demands of the United States?
Since when we see these contradictions inside the Zionist entity, between who can prevail in attacking or not attacking, or questioning if the United States is going to defend us or not. This means that they are living in internal erosion, internal
conflict.
Corrosion. They are dying inside. They are now living in very, very vital situation that they cannot, they are not confidence, they don't have any more confidence in the United States gonna defend us or not, or somebody else will defend. It means that since the beginning Israel was relying on the United States to be defended, and now they are questioning if the United States will attack Iran on their behalf, and if it's gonna go all the way along, or maybe they are questioning if the United States is going to let them in the middle of the road right now, because all the American interest now at the edge, either protecting Israel and the vital points of Israel, or protecting the American interest. I think the United States and the Israelis implement this idea that if Israel dies, it means the whole American emperor will go down with it.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you with us today, Dr. Ali Hamiyya, military and strategic researcher. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Until next time, salam.
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mulawi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and scholars. I'm Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Fadai and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Sayyid Hassan al-Nasrullah, the current president and the current secretary general of the Lebanese organization Hezbollah. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life and biography of Sayyid Hassan al-Nasrullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Hassan al-Nasrullah was born in 1960. In a town called Al-Bazuriya, which was a kind of poor, let's say, location, whose people were suffering from poverty in the east part of Lebanon called Sur, whose mother's name is Mahdiya Safiuddin and his father's name is Sayyid Abdul Karim.
Yes.
And, of course, regarding his education, he actually studied in a school in Beirut. And then, actually, in 1976, by the advice of the Imam Jum'ay Sur, actually, he started the seminary education or Islamic studies and moved to Najaf al-Ashraf. And then, after some 2 years studying there in Najaf, he returned to Lebanon and joined the classes of Imam Muntazir Seminary in Baalabak City.
Yes.
And continued his Hawzawi studies there.
Mm-hmm.
In 1989, actually, he went to the holy city of Qom for further studies and advanced studies in Islamic Hawza of Ilmiya of Qom.
That's right.
And of course, regarding his socio-political activities, we can mention that after finishing the high school in 1975, he was among the, let's say, what we can say, the officials in Jumbish Amal or Amal movement in the city Al-Bazuriya.
Mm-hmm.
And after returning from Najaf al-Ashraf in 1979, he became member of Jumbish Amal, and the political member of this party and group in 1982, together with some other scholars and ulama,
yes,
they actually established Hezbollah, and
yes,
this movement was established at that time by him and some of the other young scholars of the Lebanon.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice introduction. Sheikh Fadai, we know that, especially nowadays, that the Gaza Strip and the Palestine is under the attacks of the Zionism regime. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah's name is heard more than before.
He, along with Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, are considered as two, it's better to say, the pivots of the resistance or al-muqawama against the tyranny and atrocity and oppression all around the world. How do you find the role of this man, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, in today's political scene of the world, especially in Hezbollah and also Hezbollah Muqawama?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No, this kind of spirit was not new in Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. From his childhood, he had this belief, I mean, to believe in fighting with enemies. When he was child, he loved Imam Musa Sadr because of his belief in fighting with the enemy. Yes. And always he wanted to be like him, and something that he became after a while. And, you know, in the first years of forming Hezbollah, before Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, Sayyid Abbas Musavi was Secretary General. In the beginning years, we can say that in Lebanon, Hezbollah was familiar and beloved by people and authorities, because they could stand in front of Israel and force Israel regime to get back from the borders of Lebanon. But after a while, because of some movements of enemy, some people, and of course we can say most of the authorities in Lebanon, they tried to make obstacle for Hezbollah and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
Yes.
And even nowadays, you know, usually in the news we hear that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has lecture and people believe in him, but it's not all this story. In Lebanon, in his country, even now, there are people and authorities who are afraid of Israel and America.
Yes.
Because of that, they do not support Hezbollah. But Sayyid Hassan never stopped, and he's not going to stop, because he knows his duty, and by the actions of Hezbollah, Lebanese people have security.
Yes.
And, you know, he does not have the feeling of ethnic, I don't know, and national feeling to support just his people.
Yes.
No, you know, the main cause for this spirit is his deep belief in Walaya al-Faqih. And
their support for the Mazlumin and Mustaz'afin.
Yes.
It was something that the late Imam Khomeini has very much emphasized on. Regardless of the race, color, ethnicity, you must be after the rights of such people.
You know, even in Iran, it started like that.
Yes.
To support oppressed people and to fight with oppressors.
Okay.
So that is the cause that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah followed Imam Khomeini. And I want to quote his sentence about Imam Khomeini. We can understand his belief clearly by this quotation. He says that, in our idea, Imam Khomeini is not only a marja, he is a complete leader, an imam. He is the symbol for revolution against istikbar, against colonization.
Yes.
And he could make the nations hopeful to fight with arrogance. And because of that, he says this relationship, this spiritual relationship that we have with Imam Khomeini is not just for now. We had this even before 1982. You know, 1982 is the time that Hezbollah was formed in Lebanon.
Okay.
He believed that we had this feeling with Imam, this spiritual relationship with Imam. So, you know, this spirit made this figure, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, following Walaya al-Faqih in order to support oppressed people and fight with oppressors all around the world, not just Lebanon, Palestine.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Fadai. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, as I said, especially in today's world, you know, on different occasions, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is on the media and giving speeches and the sermons regarding the oppressions of the Israelis against Palestinian people. How do you find the role of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah in achieving more and more resistance against the tyrannies and the tyrannical powers of today's world?
Actually, Tashayyu or Shiite movements from the early life of Tashayyu, from the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, particularly about Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, started with Mu'tada.
Yes.
We have Ashura and Karbala as the main, let's say, founders of this school of Tashayyu. And it is always alive with the belief to Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Actually, Tashayyu has two wings. One is Ashura and the other one is Mahdiism.
Yes.
These two wings keeps always Tashayyu alive. That's why, as you see nowadays, when you see that speech is presented by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, in all his speeches, he very much emphasizes, overemphasizes, and focuses on these two main beliefs of Tashayyu.
Mm-hmm.
One is Ashura, and the other one is Mahdiism or Mahdawiyya.
Yes.
That is why you see that from the time of Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, though the oppressors, the oppressive kings, Khulafas, Umaras, they killed, assassinated, massacred numberless Shiite scholars, figures, people in the history, but still Tashayyu is alive. That is why this movement, which is rooted in Tashayyu and Shiite teachings and doctrines in Lebanon, yes, and anywhere else,
yes,
they will be alive till the end of the life or till the end of the history.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what? Because these two main beliefs always keeps Shia alive, wherever they are, whenever they are. The point is that, of course, now this resistance, you see that the people of the Shiite people of Lebanon were the most poor people. They suffered a lot from different kind of poverty, discriminations, injustice in Lebanon.
Yes.
But they established this powerful kind of political party by this kind of ideology. So that is why this resistance will be alive, will remain alive till the time that Imam al-Asr, Imam al-Mahdi will reappear.
Yes. Okay.
And Tashayyu will be alive.
Yes.
Until that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a Shia got martyred, he believes that he enters a better life, a better phase of life, which is, yes, the hereafter life, in the presence of Abdullah al-Husayn and A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam.
Okay.
If he remain alive in this world, again, he's winner.
Yes.
If he got martyred, again, he is winner. So that kind of people, that kind of movements, that kind of ideologies will never be vanished or removed from the earth.
Yes.
That will be always alive.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Wahani and Sheikh Fadai, for a nice elaboration regarding the biography and the life of the Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. We would like to finish this episode of the program, The Teacher, with a part of his speech in Arabic language and the English translation of it. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, we can visit our website. You can visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanah.
من جوانب عظمة الإمام الخميني قدس سره أنه قائد وإمام، وهذا الإنسان العظيم الذي.
From among the aspects of greatness of Imam Khomeini is that he was the leader and an Imam. And this great human, who was not an ordinary person, nor was he political leader in its ordinary sense, this Imam, who was a jurist and religious authority, a mystic, outstanding and of high caliber, a philosopher and a thinker, a leader in the battlefield, and one well aware of history and the message of Islam, and well aware of his contemporary time, as well as his friends and enemies and the extent of their plots. This historical Imam, this unique Imam, this Imam, the Imam of the revolutionaries and the leader of the soldiers of Allah and those who sacrifice. We are in need of such leaders. We are in need of such imams. We are in need of vanguards of this type. The exceptionality of Imam Khomeini was that he was, as Shahid Muteri had said, the Imam used to believe in his Lord.
and in his people and in the path that he was taking. And Imam provided this victory, the victory of Islamic revolution, to every weak and oppressed one, to every tortured and aggrieved one in this world, whether they were Muslims or non-Muslims. When our brothers went to him in 1982, he told them to fight this enemy in your land, turn Lebanon into a graveyard for Zionist invasions. Start from scratch, rely on Allah, and do not wait for anyone in this world. And know that you are definitely victorious.
حماس الأم حاضنة لجيش القدس والنصر فنعم الجند قسام أسود في الوغى تجري وهم في البحر حيتان وفي العلياء كالصقر وهم بالليل عباد وبالأسحار والفجر
شيلي يا حماس الدين هم الأمة عكتافك يا مهرة أحمد ياسين والقسام خيالك أنا عبدي هالمحتلين بصولاتك وجولاتك
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house, many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up, we must unlock them all today, throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers, sisters, listeners السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to the program مفاتيح الحياة Keys of Life In this program we look at Ahadith from the Ahlul Bayt عليهم السلام and sometimes verses from the Quran when they are available about matters of life Now Previously, we have been talking about brotherhood and the rights our brothers have over us and what we need to give back to them. Among the rights of the brothers is that we need to give them the mental support. We need to help them not only in matters of finances, but in even matters that concerns them in terms of their mental health, specifically when it comes to praying for them, like giving them advice, and so on and so forth. A hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, whoever wakes up in the morning and not caring about the affairs of the believers, then the Prophet said he is not a Muslim. Sometimes we get consumed by life itself and we get busy with my life and my work and this and that and I forget to think about my brothers in faith. I forget to see what's happening with my brothers in faith. I forget to check the news. I forget to feel sorry for them. I forget to come to their help and aid, even just to pray for them. And especially now, we are going through hard time, especially with our brothers and our sisters in Palestine, and in Gaza. They're suffering. And because now it's dragging, it's past the 150 days landmark, a lot of people in the Muslim world, they say, oh, okay, it's done, you know. We got fired up at the beginning, but now they just don't care anymore because it's been such a long time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, no. You need to every day, man asbaha, whoever wakes up every morning. So every morning when you wake up, you say to yourself, what's happening to my brothers and sisters in faith? And he says, the Prophet says, if you don't do that, then you are not a Muslim. You're not one of them. وَمَنْ سَمَعَ رَجُلًا يُنَادِي, and when a person hears another person calling, يَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَمْ يُجِبْهُ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ, when you hear a person calling you and he's saying, where are the Muslims? Where are those my brothers in faith to come and help me? And you don't help this call, you don't go and aid him, then again the Prophet says, then you're not a Muslim either. So even to that extent, when it comes to praying for them, understanding their problems, knowing their affairs, coming to their aids, are all part of my duty as a Muslim to another Muslim every single morning. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Ayatollah Javadi Omoli, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. We said we need to worry about the affairs of our brothers in faith. Also, we are required to go visit them when they get sick and they fall ill. This is one of our duty towards our brothers and sisters. We have a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. He says, لكل شيء يستريح إليه. To everything, there's something that they get relieved by and they feel good by. وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, and surely the believing person, يَسْتَرِيحُ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, he feels comfortable, relaxed and relieved with his other brother in faith. Then the Imam says, كَمَا يَسْتَرِيحُ الطَّيْرُ إِلَىٰ شَاكِلِهِ, in the same way that birds will always mingle amongst their own. So when a brother is sick and you go visit him, he'll feel at ease, at peace. He will feel good. And then the Imam salamullah alayhi, in another hadith, he says, whoever goes visits his brother for the sake of Allah, لا لشيء غيره, not for anything else, not to seek his needs and ask, you know, for things and stuff like that. No. He just goes to visit him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بل لالتماس ما وعد الله, just to seek that which Allah has promised. In what? Because Allah has promised that if you go visit a sick person, 70,000 angels would be calling this person who goes visits his other brother who is sick. They say to him, may you be blessed and bless the heaven that you will go to. The angels will say to this person, blessed you, you are blessed, and bless the heaven that you will go to. So in another sense, Allah is trying to reward those who visit their brothers in faith when they are sick with heaven, which is quite lofty for just going driving for a short time, spending half an hour with a brother in faith who is sick. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, a person was going by, or a king was driving by or walking by, and he saw a man standing at another man's door while the man of the house is not there. So the king said to him, what are you doing at this door? What brings you here? He says, I have a brother in this house and I came to visit him. قال رحم ماسة بينك وبين أم نزعت إلي حاجة. The person that you want to visit, is he a brother? You have a relationship with him, or do you have a need with him? And then it continues, because it's a long hadith. He said to him, no, I'm just coming. There is no relation between us, and there is no need that I come. I just came just to visit him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that person was deserving of heaven just for doing so. So sometimes when it comes to our brothers and sisters, it's not only material, but sometimes the simple, easy things that they require the most, like visiting them, doing dua for them, or even answering their call when they need us. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of truth, hear the children scream sweet.
There was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind, a momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Black and white.
Para los pueblos, para los países.
For people and countries who are fighting for sovereignty, independence, and national liberation, there are certain flags that play a very important role.
Que juegan un papel de mucha importancia. Una de estas banderas,
one of these flags is the International Quds Day, which was proclaimed by Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, in
1979.
Shortly after the triumph of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. This says that one of the fundamental objectives is the defense of Al-Quds and the expulsion of the Zionist occupiers of Palestine. This flag has been flying for years, and the demonstrations are constantly being organized on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. Beyond the religious contents, which also has great importance, beyond that, many demonstrations, events, marches are held in different places around the world to point out that the cause of Al-Quds is the cause of all.
Para señalar que la causa de Al-Quds es la causa de todos.
Because it is closely related to the liberation of Palestine and the expulsion of the Zionist occupiers.
De ese ocupante
The occupiers who have no nationality, have no past,
sino que es apenas un movimiento político con ciertos niveles religiosos.
But it's just a political movement with certain ultra-religious text that allows a kind of beachhead of the Western European and the West as a whole to establish itself in Western Asia.
Colectivo occidental, europeo occidental, en Asia occidental. Entonces, en las actuales circunstancias.
So in the current circumstances, where Zionism and the Zionist regime of Israel demonstrate all its cruelty and its genocidal criminal character,
su carácter criminal, genocida, la lucha,
the fight for the defense of Al-Quds and the International Quds Day is totally pertinent.
Internacional de Al-Quds es totalmente pertinente. Adquiere gran importancia. No solamente para el pueblo palestino, que es el...
It requires great importance, not only for the Palestinian people, who are the first interested in the defense of Al-Quds, but for all the Arab peoples, Muslims and non-Muslims, for all the nations of the world.
Porque la lucha...
Because today, the fight against Zionism is part of the fight against imperialism, against fascism and against Nazism. Because Zionism is synonymous with Nazism.
No tiene otra explicación. Es por eso que frente a un nuevo aniversario,
it has no other explanation. That is why, at the new anniversary, we once again pointed out that we stand for free Palestine, Palestine will win, Zionism will fall, and that all the demonstrations that have been carried out in the last years, as well as those of this year, are in constant support of Palestine, and all have a supportive nature.
Palestina, en apoyo de carácter solidario, tenga en esta fecha, en el Día Internacional de Al-Quds, un momento.
To this date, International Quds Day has been an outstanding and special moment. The man who speaks to you and this program is not neutral, and that is why around the date of Quds, we are giving it an international character. We get involved and call on all nations, all true progressives, those who fight for sovereignty and independence for social justice, to continue demonstrating on the International Quds Day.
Por la justicia social, a estar en el Día Internacional de Al-Quds, manifestando.
Al-Quds is the common cause of all of us.
De todos nosotros. Los pueblos del mundo.
The people of the world who are in the struggle, we raise the flags, and Al-Quds is one of them.
Al-Quds es una de ellas. Esto es...
This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. En... La historia de los pueblos y en sus luchas.
In the history of nations and their struggles, there are conditions and events that are indicators and unifiers. One of them is the call to hold the International Quds Day, a day of common concern for all.
De Al-Quds, el día de la causa común de todos. Para hablar y profundizar sobre...
To talk and go deeper about this, we are in Santiago, Chile, with Nicola Areva, a Palestinian-Chilean presenter of an important radio program called Open Screen, TV panelist, conference organizer, first coach of the professional Palestinian national football team, and former head coach of the Chilean team Palestino.
De fútbol profesional de la selección de Palestina. Y también ha dirigido el equipo de fútbol...
International analyst Nicola Areva, welcome to our program, Black and White.
Bienvenido, Nicola Areva, a nuestro programa Negro y Blanco. Gusto saludarte, Eduardo. Gracias por la invitación.
Nice to greet you, Eduardo. Thank you for inviting me. It makes me happy to be on your show. I think it is a very important program, a literate program. I'm very happy to be here with you, and it's an honor.
Contigo, así que un agrado. Gracias, Nicola. Nicola, ¿qué importancia tiene?
Thank you, Nicola. At the current time, when the Zionist regime has a behavior against the Palestinian nation and specifically the residents of Gaza, that cannot be described with almost any words. What is the importance of the call made by Ayatollah Khomeini for the International Quds Day, which is actually on the last Friday of Ramadan?
Que hace el Ayatollah Khomeini en su momento del Día Internacional de Al-Quds como el último viernes de Ramadán.
Bueno, tu pregunta, Eduardo, es muy importante, muy interesante, y además abarca una serie de elementos.
Eduardo, your question is very important and interesting, and in addition, it includes a number of elements whose meaning is very important to analyze. The first thing is that the Islamic Republic, through Imam Khomeini, issued this fatwa to designate the last Friday of Ramadan as the day dedicated